Hi there, this is Bryce Pinkham. I'm currently performing on the Lyric Stage in Chicago. You are on the road with Dane on WGN.
I have often walked down this street before.
It's 720 WGN on the road with Dane here in the Allstate Showcase. I almost said theater. Studio here on Michigan Avenue. And we talk about some of those great road trips that you can take, whether it's from Chicago out to great destinations or from anywhere in the greater Midwest. And here at WGN, we're heard on 38 states and Canada. And Chicago, a destination for so many reasons, whether it is great food or great architecture that you can know, love, and enjoy, but also great theater. And in studio, we have a Tony-nominated actor who's played characters through time from Civil War to modern day, working on both stage and screen with iconic co-stars and legendary actors, the one and only Bryce Pinkham. Welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Bryce, Broadway, movies, TV, so you got a really broad range of activities and some of the beloved stories and productions through time. Here at the Lyric, you're playing in My Fair Lady the role of Freddie, so are you enjoying it? I mean, it's a great story.
I'm having a blast, and you know, of all those things you mentioned, but one thing I've never done is opera, and being on the Lyric stage, I sort of get a sense of the history that just lives in that building, and I heard you speaking to your listeners about things to see in Chicago. Coming to see the Lyric Opera itself is worth the trip. I mean, the building is just sort of this incredible structure, and standing on that stage, and we are doing a musical, obviously, but on the opera stage, it's quite a different experience for me, unlike one I've ever had.
See, it's cool that you say that. And before we went on the air, and Liz, who is with us as well, and we talked a little bit about the architecture here in Chicago, invariably when I have people in from wherever it is, whether it's from the West Coast or certainly New York, you know, they're always like, whoa, look at the architecture. It's one of those things that we here as Chicagoans take for granted, whether it's sports success or, you know, graft, greed, and corruption with our politicians. We just know and embrace. But for that, yeah, as someone who has been in so many different places, talk a little bit about the facility and how cool it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, you get a sense in buildings like this that there's just been so much has been made in that space, do you know? And it's like walking into an old church, and you just sort of sense how much has gone on in that room, good and bad.
See, you know? It's interesting on the theater side, and there, you know, whether it's Second City or whether it's some kind of, you know, gritty theaters where a lot has happened, I think people in that space can embrace whatever the venue, but it's kind of neat for you to see that and understand that there's so much history. So with My Fair Lady, so much history there too, and I'm wondering, as you are in productions that are new and modern, and certainly some of the television thing where you can kind of bring more of the Bryce to the table, but for something like this that has so much history, do you feel like this, do you feel compelled to kind of stick to the original and give people, because almost everyone in the theater knows the story, right? They can almost say your lines for you. Do you feel compelled to kind of stick to that, or do you want to bring something of yourself to the table?
I think it's 50-50. I think you have to sort of do homage to the original, because, as you said, you know, mothers are bringing their daughters to experience My Fair Lady. My grandparents came to see the show, and they were singing along, do you know? So it really is a cross-generational piece, and so you definitely want to do homage to the expectations, but at the same time, I think part of the reason to do it again is to see if there's something new to be found or to be explored. So I think it's 50-50, and I also think, too, the sort of collision of the opera world and the musical theater world, Lyric Opera has sort of mandated that they will do it once a year, and I think it's a really intrepid endeavor on their part to put a musical classic musical on an opera stage with an opera chorus and a huge orchestra. You know, I get to sing with an orchestra that's bigger than any I've ever sung with on Broadway. And for me, I feel like I'm singing along to the movie soundtrack. I mean,
right.
The string section alone is 12 people. So it's the sound in that space and of this classic score is just worth the trip.
Yeah, a lot of people in the production for sure. And you get to have kind of that luxury of being part of some of those hits, if you will, mm-hmm. right? Street Where You Live, that is a great song. Like, everybody loves that song. So that's a really great moment to shine.
Yeah, you know, the song, it's funny, the song was originally written because they needed a scene change. You know, they go from the horse race to the ball. And in between, they had to change the scenery. So the composers, Lerner and Lowe, composer and lyricist team sort of said, oh, we need a song here. Let's give Freddie a song. And well, the only place it can happen is on the street because we have to lower the scenery and change it all.
Don't have a lot of room.
And so here you have them going, all right, well, Freddie's on the street. What's he going to sing about? The next thing you know, they've written On the Street Where You Live, and you're right. I'm lucky I get to sing that moment twice in the show because he does a reprise in the second act. But a perfect example of, you know, you never know what's going to come out of the creative process. And, right. and those two guys wrote one of the greatest songs for a tenor to sing in a musical theater piece, and I'm lucky I get to sing it.
Yeah, getting to be a part of some of these kind of very famous productions through history I think is big, and the lyric and having it be there, I think the venue is great as well. And I know you guys are coming to the end of the schedule here, so people only have a handful of days to get out there, see you, and see what it is, but there are so many things coming to Lyric and, of course, coming to the theater community here in Chicago. I wanted to ask you too, just, you know, as a guy coming up in it, and you know, it isn't necessarily, you know, a typical career. You know, it's something that you got to have a certain amount of talent for, and I'm sure that talent was recognized at a reasonably young age, and you knew what it is that you wanted to do. But and we've talked off air a little bit about some of those culinary connections, and one of those things is where people are going on through life and they think this is what they're going to do, and they have to explain to their family, to their parents, that they're going to go off in what often can be career-wise a terrifying and unstable career in performance. And so as far as theater and performing, how did that all start for you?
My parents were called into a parent-teacher conference in first grade in which first grade teacher said very politely, you might need to find Bryce a stage other than my classroom.
Nice.
So it was very clear early on that I had some reckless creativity that needed to find an outlet. So my parents found some sort of performance options for me as a kid. But I'll be honest, I never really took it seriously as a career until I got to college. And I credit my family with encouraging me to do anything I wanted to do, but not discouraging me from doing it if I ended up choosing it, as I have. And
on the college side, for the listeners, so Yale, you know, an institution of esteemed higher learning, lots of options from there. And you chose, again, the most stable, predictable, successful route.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, it's a privilege to even be able to talk about what your dream is of doing. And so I think with that privilege comes great responsibility, and I felt like, well, if I'm going to do this, I have to make sure that I'm doing jobs and parts that really mean something to me, and that allow me the opportunity not just to have success as a business person, but to become a better person on the planet. And, you know, I think one of the main ways that I enjoy doing that or pursuing that is by traveling. And so when I had the opportunity to leave New York and come to Chicago, I said, I've never been to Chicago before.
Wow.
I've heard of the great theater here. I've heard of the great food here. My goodness, have I eaten since I've been
here. We got a baseball team too, Mighty Cubs.
And I only go to cities after they win the World Series, so that's a new rule.
Nice.
It was easy for me to say yes to this job because all those things combined, not just, oh, I want to sing this amazing song, but it sort of all goes into the lifestyle of being an actor when you choose jobs that will improve you as a person, I think.
I think one of the testaments to the success and, you know, award-winning, the Tony nominations, a lot of the stuff that you have given you opportunity to kind of pick and choose what it is that you want to do. And those choices out there, talk a little bit about that thought process for the choices, because you have had like an eclectic blend of things to do. And so to be here, to come here, to do this at a venue like this, in a production like this, but then also whether it's movies or whether it's some of the TV stuff, like what are the kind of things that you're excited and hoping to do next?
Well, I'll be honest. I wish I just had a buffet of options and I was just, you know, picking and choosing at whim what my next project was. That's not the ultimate reality. But you're right. After a certain amount of number of years in the business, you sort of get a little more selective in your choices. And if I were to select something next, I would find my way back in front of a camera, because that presents a entirely different challenge to me than being on stage at the Lyric with 3,500 people in the audience.
Right.
When you're performing in front of a camera, it's just a different sense. There's like one giant eye looking at you and a bunch of people standing around behind it. So it's a very different experience for me, and I enjoyed it. I was on the second season of a show called Mercy Street on PBS, a Civil War drama, which you mentioned. And I just had a blast shooting in Richmond, Virginia, another great food town. And so I would love to get back in front of a camera in a city I've never been before. You know, a lot of shows shoot in Vancouver. There are shows shooting in Atlanta. Never spent time in LA, so you know, I'd love to find my way back on TV and experience a little more of that world.
See, it's neat. It's neat to be able to get out there, you know, kind of further your career and do things that allow you to give things to the fans and people in the productions. That is great. You're sharing your gift, but you're also kind of have this personal agenda, right, of being able to want to, you know, utilize that in order to have that be that vehicle for you to experience all these great things in a million great places. On this show, we do talk about transformative travel. Travel is one of those things where I think it's an education. I mean, it's entertainment for sure. It isn't all about, you know, beaches and Mai Tais and things like that, but there's opportunities for you to get out there. And what a lot of people come away with is that they understand that as many differences as we may have as peoples and cultures or politically, that we are basically the same, you know, and we enjoy the same things. We laugh about the same things, we love about the same things. So if you did want to share a couple of, you know, some of the destinations or some of the places that you've gone, why it would be important to be an inspiration for some of the listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think travel makes us, you know, on each trip makes us better humans, because as you said, we meet other people who are ostensibly on the outside different from us, but once we spend time with them in their world, we realize, oh, we even in different worlds, we're the same, and that's bridging gaps that, you know, exist whether we like it or not. And so I love to travel. I would send people, if they have the time and inclination, I would send them everywhere. I would say I studied abroad in New Zealand. If you love the outdoors, go immediately, get on a plane to New Zealand. I have a charity that works in Madagascar, which is an island off the coast of Africa.
It's the home of the lemurs, people.
Exactly. If you like lemurs and the rainforests, head to Madagascar. I have spent some time in London, another great city with incredible history and architecture and theater. So yeah, I'm from California originally. I mean, the list goes on and on. But, you know, it's not about the distance. It's about the intention of walking out the door and being open to a new experience, because I think fear really gets in the way of trying something new, and that's only natural. You know, our brains are really scared of change, you know, and I think one of the ways we have to combat that is forcing yourself to walk out the door. And as my father said to me as a young kid, you know, follow your nose today and find out where it leads you.
Let it kind of play out, yeah. You know, and all in all, you're probably going to be enriched by the experience for sure. So people are going to be able to enjoy you. And I do truly mean that at the Lyric Opera for the next handful of days. After that, where are they going to be able to find you? And of course, you want to share if you've got, you know, brycepickup.com or some of your social media and some of the ways that people can keep up with your adventures.
Yeah, you can follow me on social media, both Instagram and Twitter. I am at the Bryce Capades.
Which, now, are you know, a skater?
No. But I like to I like fun with words. But I also thought these various travels that I take, I think of them as different you know, sort of escapades onto some new adventure. So that's where you can find out what I'm doing next. For the meantime, I'm headed back to New York City for a concert of Lerner and Lowe, who are the composer lyricist team of My Fair Lady. I'm singing some of their other songs. And then I have a solo show that I call Between the Moon and Me, which I'll be doing in Tennessee on July 12th. And then who knows?
Maybe who knows? Just follow your nose.
I'll be following the nose of my career. And I hope your listeners will follow their noses down to the Lyric this next week and catch this great show, because it really is one of the best for people who love musicals, and also for people who have never seen a musical. It's a really, really, it's just the classic, perfectly written show, and I think really holds up well.
Well, that's high praise, high and well-deserved praise. It's My Fair Lady done. It's the story that you know and love done in the very best and most thoughtful way possible. You can see Bryce Pinkham there for the next handful of days. And we'll have the website up for the Lyric Opera and all the productions there as well for the duration of the summer and the year. And we'll be highlighting things there as well. And then one more time, Bryce, for your personal stuff and social media where people can follow you.
At the Bryce Capades.
That's awesome. Follow Bryce Pinkham. He will lead you someplace fun, interesting, and always entertaining. Bryce, thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for being on WGN today.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.